Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Standardization of open source hardware. As I described, or as I wrote it in my description, I won't tell you about how great open source hardware is, but because I assume you all know that. But for those new in the field, open source hardware is not about giving away machines for free, but it's about the question who owns technology. And as hardware, or rather technology, is how we produce our daily production goods or living goods, and also the base of circular economy, I assume that's a super important question, at least for us. So we start with a term. And the term has been defined by some guys in the US, by the Open Source Hardware Association, that came out with the definition that open source hardware is hardware whose design is made publicly available so that anyone can study, modify, distribute, make, and sell the design or hardware based on that design. So basically, you upload the design files, blueprints, and all these calculations and stuff like that, and then anyone can build machines with that. And yeah, so this is followed by a lot of license terms. So what OSHPA did is defining what open in open source hardware means. While hardware is rather clear, it remains open what the source actually is. So it is not enough to just share a quick sketch of your machine. Nobody can work with that. So what should actually be shared under an open license so others are enabled to modify, redistribute, and whatever your hardware. So it's also a question about the purpose of the source. What are people meant to do with it? And this purpose has been already defined by OSHPA, Open Source Initiative, and they boil down to these four core points. So people should be able to study, modify, make, and distribute the hardware. But we put that in an official standard, which is then the frame for the technical documentation of the hardware, because that's what you share in the end. That's also the first official standard for open source anywhere. So in that standard, we also acknowledge that this technical documentation depends on the life cycle phases that you are trying to cover. So not only introducing the hardware to the world, but also to maintain and operate it, and to recycle, refurbish, and whatever. So you need more documentation. And we also include the point that the technical documentation depends on the technology embedded in the piece of hardware and also that is used to produce the piece of hardware. You will need a different technical documentation for a 3D printed cup of tea without the tea, or when you want to share a machine that produces cheese and slices and packages it. So yeah, that's all nice, but why do we actually need a standard for that? Can't people just produce and document open source hardware? So first of all, the standard defines what you should share, and apparently that's a huge issue. There's very few projects out there which are very good documented, at least for mechanical open source hardware. So you also, despite from enabling people to make use of your invention, you make technical documentation compatible and comparable to each other. So when we have two awesome machines documented well, and you can actually make use of both technical documentations, you can combine both to a better machine, if you like. And second point, you can actually find it. There's no use if you just publish a lot of open source modules around the web. If no one can actually find them, then you need to reinvent the wheel every time again. So the standard defines a common set of metadata so others can actually find your hardware. And as it's an official standard, we can put a trusty and community-based certificate on that. And this is meant to build a bridge between community, industry, and research institutes, as apparently industry and science need paper and certificates. And by that process, it doesn't really matter who comes up with the invention first and who uses it in the end. So all can effectively work together. The certification process has also been defined by the standard. Here's how it works. So you start with the documentation release, then you make an application, and then people can peer review your technical documentation, just as in science. And when the peer reviews state that this is complete and readable for others in the field, then you will have the certificate, which may look like that. And as the certificate is based on peer reviews, it's updatable and challengeable. So it's not a certificate just for your lifetime. Whenever someone else comes up with a negative peer review and they exceed the positive ones, then it expires. And this process is moderated by a certification body, who can just be anyone who is capable to organize a repository which keeps all these documents open and transparent. Yeah. So that's how it works in practice, or that's the context of the documents. The technical documentation is in the middle. Both standards define how it is made and how it is certified. And there's a third document that I didn't mention yet. There's a guideline that helps you to make this technical documentation in the end. It also helps you in other points like legal issues around open source hardware, patent law issues, and a lot of stuff like that. And on the other side, technical documentation is uploaded somewhere. So people usually upload it on GitHub, Thingiverse, Wikifab, whatever they're. Alone in the English-speaking area, we have over 80 different platforms, and we developed a search engine that crawls these platforms, plus Google, plus YouTube, and then you can actually find what's out there. And the aim is to make it filterable by the certificate. So when you search something, you can filter the results for what is actual real open source hardware and what is more DIY stuff. The nice thing about this map, it's all open source, even the standard, which was a lot of lobby work. But you can participate in the standard and give feedback, and then doing pull requests and other stuff, and then the National Standardization Institute in Germany needs to look at it and make you that info for the next version of the standard. Yeah. That was maybe a bit fast, but I wanted to keep it as rough as possible, as it's a complex field, and usually it's better to have a larger Q&A part about that. Feel free to ask me any questions about that. Yeah, especially the uncomfortable ones, I like those. Yeah, and then we can dig into the details.
Thank you. My question is regarding the repository. Is it kind of a product lifecycle management system? Or is it like basically Git, where you upload a bunch of, like you have a folder and you upload your CAD files, your calculations, everything? Or is it something where you can dynamically like pull out the data and say, like, hey, I have an assembly, I have a bunch of standard parts which are coming from like a shared library, and like you can all mix it up together?
This repository is not meant to store the actual technical documentation, but just all the documents involved in the certification process. How people organize their technical documentation, if they refer to other standardized parts, is yet their issue. But as I say, that would make a lot more sense if we keep this hardware modular. So if there's a repository of standardized modules and people can look at it and
So there's currently no platform that is capable of like resembling an open source product lifecycle management.
Well, there is one in progress. Wikifactory is trying to do that, but it's yet a research project, so it's not yet usable.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, many thanks for your talk. First of all, it's very interesting that you really got it, that Dean makes something really open source, even the specification. So congrats for this, especially. The other thing I would like to ask is, in the open source software, you have tons of different license types. And is this only one license type? So for example, in you have GPL or you have BSD or whatever you think of in open source software. What's the license type when you are talking about open source hardware here?
So for open source hardware, there are not so many licenses out there yet. There are three major ones, which is CERN, OHL, the most common one and the best maintained, the TAPR license and the SolderPad, and they basically split up into with copyleft mechanism or without, and that's it yet. So it's a free field. But OSHPA is pretty open to that, so they only define the license terms. Anyone can come up with a new license according, which is conformative to that. Yeah.
Thanks.
Hello. I have a question about this slide here, the certification body. Who is this?
This can be anyone. So it could be you, if you're capable to hold such a repository. I mean, it's the standard defines how the certification body needs to be organized, what he needs to do. But in the end, anyone can do that. You just need to state when you give out the certificate who you are, so who issued that certificate, and then, people can trust you or not.
Hello? And there's also a specification for that?
We have two documents here. So, I didn't mention that particularly. The standard splits up into the definition for the technical documentation and into the definition for the certification procedure. So, here it's described how this procedure works, and the certification body has clear roles and tasks to ensure that is working. But again, anyone can just declare he's working in compliance of that standard. And that's actually how certification works in industry too. You can be an institute, someone is reviewing you and says, okay, you're compliant to that standard. The difference here is that we don't have a power concentration here. So whenever the certification body becomes corrupt, so for example, my organization, Open Source Ecology Germany, wants to found such a certification body. Yet there's no money involved. So it's unlikely that we have become corrupt in some sense. But when money becomes a thing, there is a risk for that. But as all the documentation and the whole process is open, people can just fork us. So when they find out that we accept peer reviews from your friends, for example, that you call a few colleagues and then you say this is open source, and yeah, whatever. So we have some corruption happening there, and then you can just clone the whole thing, and open your own certification body.
Hey, thanks for the talk. I was wondering about the specifications on how to share your product data, your technical documentation. So, for example, how is one supposed to share 3D data? Are there specific file formats? Or, so essentially I think that the open source world is pretty lacking in that regard, for example, and I wonder if there's some direction given there.
There is. especially regarding CAD files, we are not yet ready to only use FreeCAD or OpenSCAD, for example. So these programs are not ready for industrial use. So what we say in the standard is you need to share the original file format. but you also need to make the information available in a way that people can look into this information without any licenses. So you have your CAD file, and maybe people can not look into the CAD file, but you should share a drawing as a PDF or whatever, so then people can look into the geometry and tolerances and all that. So the actual information is publicly available, but the CAD model may be only available if you have a SolidWorks license or stuff like that. So we give recommendations, but we cannot enforce it yet, because for most companies that's just unrealistic. Yeah, if there's no more questions yet.
There is.
Sorry. What happens if somebody uses the certificate, even though it is not applicable anymore because it's challenged or something?
That's a good question. I got this asked a lot. What's the actual use of the certificate? So we can talk a lot about how valuable this can be for industry, but there's no one applying that. Who is applying that is science. In science, for a research project, it's a problem that you will construct any kind of prototype to test something. And as it's financed in advance, you don't need a business model behind that. You can just build your prototype, but it's usually not documented. So it stays in the laboratory and nobody will ever know about that. And plus, people usually cannot reproduce your test results or all the data that you produced with this prototype or testing environment, because nobody knows how you build the machine. But if there's a standard and if there's a certificate, it's clear what could be documented and could be part of your research project. So people can put this into their application for a research project. It becomes part of it. They get money for the documentation and time for that. And so we have all this high-tech research stuff openly documented, and we also win a revenue stream, like money flow for this whole open source hardware field. That's the first application case. We are also working together with a bunch of media-sized enterprises which are interested in that. They're looking more for a label or something, but they can also apply for public money. And whenever you apply for public money, your results should be publicly available. So certificate again. It all works with paper. And it's a huge authority, as it's dean. These three letters make a lot.
Hi, thanks for your presentation. I'm Drew from, I'm one of the board members of
the Open Source Hardware
Association.
For you.
Yeah, I was told about you from the Libre Solar a few days ago.
Over here, yeah.
Yes, and Matthias is also here. He's also one of the board members. So I think this is really exciting what you're doing. And I'd like to talk more about how, I wasn't familiar with DIN before this, but there's other standards organizations like ANSI and ISO in the US. And I'm thinking maybe this would be applicable to those things as well, potentially. Have you looked at other countries, how this process could work there?
Yes.
Okay.
They haven't been so open yet for that. The Austrian National Standardization Institute was kind of interested, but they didn't support us so well. And DIN has much more authority in the international sector. So this DIN spec is directly transformable into international standard, but it's under CC by SA. So whoever wants to publish this standard, could be ANSI, could be whoever, ISO, CN, they need to publish it under CC by SA. Yeah.
So something like ISO is similar to DIN then in terms of a standards body? Is the ISO, is that kind of similar to what DIN does or...?
Yes, it's okay. It's actually the same building. So
okay.
Inside the DIN building, you have Yeah, in the first office is the national standardization, and if you walk down the corridor, there's the international sector, so just pass on the paper.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah. Well, what I could do, meanwhile, is showing you the Open Hardware Observatory, which I mentioned. So,
should I ask my question now, or?
Sure, you can. If not, I ask a question.
Already in industry, documentation is quite a problem because people are generally too lazy to do it. Do you think that in open source hardware it will find acceptance in a lot of cases, or?
Depends what you want to do. In the hardware sector, support is a huge problem. So a few weeks ago, I read, who was that actually? I didn't see who was talking. Ah, okay, because I want to look at you. a few weeks ago, I read an article about a garden roboter, and that was a relatively small company that wanted to provide 10 years support for their products, but coming out with a new version of their product every year. So that becomes a huge cost for this company. And they couldn't, they could simply not provide such a load of work for the support. But what they did in the end was open sourcing the firmware and some parts of the design so the community can take care of that. So people have the effective ability to maintain their product and also to modify it and ask for help without costing this anything. The company. So some are starting with that. Another example is Sono Motors. I don't know if you heard of them. They are developing an electric car in Munich. And they want this car to be fully maintainable by anyone. So they want to also develop an instruction how to maintain this car. They could do that themselves and invest a lot of money in the actual writing of the manual, but they could also just write the first part and let the rest for the community. So the people that repair the car write the manual themselves. By that, they get a unique thing out there in the market. There's no car that you can maintain by yourself in all the details, at least in the electric sector. And they also get free feedback. So they see that piece that always breaks when I do this and that, or it's hard to repair. So all these development cycles that cost a lot of money are free then. You're outsourcing things. So I assume that there will be few companies that will open source just everything, but a few parts of it, I guess yes. And 5 years ago, that wasn't some kind of impossible thing to pitch to companies to open source your development. But right now, I don't know what changed, but everyone I'm talking to is like, oh, let's make a pilot about that. How can I collaborate with you? So there is a mind shift, and I didn't question that yet so deeply, as I didn't want these people to change their mind. Same for Dean, because what we're doing is undermining Dean's business model, their core business model. And I don't know if all of them understood that. But well, they're super motivated in there. They're actually looking for an open source software project with standardization motivations that they could support. So if there's any out there, come to me and I can link you. But I'm talking too much. Any more questions? Well, if not, we could... What's that? I could show you OHO then. That's this. So that's a web page. You can just type in any kind of technology, any buzzword out there, anything you want to do, like wind turbine, and then, then it shows you what's out there. Yeah, and then you click on it, and then you come to the actual design files. So there's no need to invent anything from scratch. There's, for almost all technologies, there's always some dude out there who did it, and made at least a video about that. Yeah. Is my time up yet? Okay. So, yeah, thanks for listening.